Hi, Odyssey fans. I'm Jesse, editor of Focus on the Family, Clubhouse Magazine.
And I'm Bob, producer of the Adventures in Odyssey Club. Welcome to the official Adventures in Odyssey podcast.
Today on the podcast, we're delving into the latest club adventure, The Honor of Obed-Edom. Bob, I need you to be honest now. Before this episode, how familiar were you with this character of Obed-Edom in the Old Testament?
Well, Jesse, I knew the name, but really never gave him a whole lot of thought. I think like a lot of people who read 2 Samuel 6, it's easy to focus so much on those first eight verses that Obed-Edom kind of feels like an afterthought. It's easy to miss him. How about you?
Well, similarly, right? The beginning of that chapter is rather shocking. And then when it gets to the part of Obed-Edom, you just kind of sort of read through it. And I suspect a lot of our listeners weren't familiar with this person or this story either.
Let's chat with executive producer Dave Arnold, who is also the writer and director of this episode, about why he chose to turn the seemingly obscure story of Obed-Edom into an Adventures in Odyssey Club episode. Dave, welcome back to the podcast.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Well, The Honor of Obed-Edom is based on an account in 2 Samuel 6. We've been telling Bible stories and Adventures in Odyssey for more than three decades now.
Yeah, since the beginning, yeah.
Yeah. When did you decide it was time to tell this one?
A good friend of mine actually brought up the name Obed-Edom. His family and he listened to Adventures in Odyssey through the years, loved the Bible stories, and he said, "Have you ever considered doing the story of Obed-Edom?" And I knew the name, but it's such a small figure, character in the Bible that I was trying to figure out where have I heard that name. And he went into how much he loved the fact that Obed-Edom honored the Lord in such a beautiful way, and God blessed him in return for that. And he said it's just impacted him. And that was probably 4 years ago.
Oh, wow.
But I repeatedly sort of came back to the idea. Even though I couldn't quite figure out how to make it work, it kept resonating with me, and I figured at that point, well, since it's not leaving my brain space, I should probably do something about it.
You know, our writers are always very careful not to change anything that's mentioned specifically in the Bible, but again, Obed-Edom, this is a relatively obscure figure, only mentioned in a handful of verses. So you kind of have to fill in some gaps where the Bible is silent on those details. So what rules did you set for yourself as a writer as you sort of expanded Obed-Edom's story into a whole episode?
Yeah, my first thought was I wouldn't want to do a story that didn't have any guidelines for it, because since this is a biblical figure, I wanted to make sure that I wasn't straying off the rails too far. But there was enough of Obed-Edom's life and his purpose and his relationship with the Lord to fill in the gaps for me. And so when I went down the road of actually adapting it, I just realized I've got to stay true to what the Bible does say, and the Bible infers all of these other things, so I can basically make that stuff up because it makes sense. It fulfills the story. It's true to the character. It's true to how it all lays out in Scripture.
One of the nice things about this being a club show is we were able to create a fun activity to help young fans know which story points can be found in Scripture and where.
Yeah, it's a fabulous idea, yeah. And that's why, quite honestly, I wanted to choose the Book of Speculations as the vehicle, because there were a lot of other options. There was the Imagination Station, there were McConsequence, kids' radio shows. And I toyed with all of those ideas, but again, I had to come back to the point where I said, I want kids to realize that a lot of this is speculation. It's not in the Bible. It's not, and it doesn't have to be, you know, word for word. We always take those liberties anyway, but we always try and stay as true to Scripture as we can. So the Book of Speculations basically starts off by saying something along the lines of, it could have happened this way. It may not have, but it could have happened this way. And I wanted that to be a preface both at the beginning and at the end, which it is, just so kids know that if they get in the Bible and they, you know, read about Obed-Edom's life, there's going to be stuff in this story they're not going to read there.
Right.
Because I had to assume things to fill out the story.
And that's the tricky part, because you don't want to blow our credibility, because they say, wait a minute, that wasn't in there. Mm-hmm. Well, we understand that. Yeah. So we want to make sure that full disclosure that we let them know.
Yeah, and I think one creative venture that sort of unlocked that for me was The Chosen. Mm-hmm. You know, when you watch The Chosen, they actually dive into the emotional lives of the characters. And that's not oftentimes, you know, most of what they do isn't really even found in Scripture. Mm-hmm. It is, again, assumed. And so I thought, well, if they can do that there, why can't we do it on Odyssey? There's certainly a lot of emotional context that could be assumed based on the life of Obed-Edom. And I found it rich to dive into that and figure it out.
And of course, it's assumption built on research and yes. history and yes. everything. And I know, like you said, this is rattling around in your brain for like 4 years. Yeah. And then you write the first draft and you go through mm-hmm. draft after draft. So how did the story change, I guess, over the course of time before it actually ended up being that recorded episode?
Well, from the very beginning of mulling it through, again, it wasn't, for me at that point, it wasn't a book of speculation show. It was an imagination station show. Mm. But then you hit those sort of dead ends in the story that you're like, no, it doesn't make sense for it to be this, so it's got to be something else. And so you change that. And the things that, again, that really helped me were, as you just said, very intuitively, is the research. And it wasn't always research that was, again, locked into Bible verse, that you could find it in a Bible verse, but people that unpack the Bible, theologians, would say, in this period of time, this was this and this was that.
Yeah.
This was the culture at the time. These were the struggles they faced. Even going back to Jewish tradition, where they talked about, you know, handed down information through the years about Obed-Edom and how he had 8 sons, and they all were blessed with large families because of this. Those were the kinds of things that began to inform the story for me as well.
So many interesting characters in this particular story. Is there one that you relate to most personally?
Well, it may sound arrogant to say it, but it really is Obed-Edom for me. For multiple reasons, and I don't need to go into all of them. One of them being the reason I chose to have Obed-Edom lame. I figured there had to be a reason he left, because he was one of David's mighty men. That's cataloged in Scripture. We know he was. Why wasn't he now? Why did David have to come to him? And so I figured, well, I mean, in these fierce battles, perhaps he was injured in some respect. I broke my femur 5 years ago, and I have not been able to do the kinds of things that I did before. You know, physical ailments change your abilities, and especially in a culture like Israel, ancient Israel, where, you know, life is difficult and working in the land and all of those things. And then there's that tension and frustration between, you know, Obed-Edom and Mala, who has to, you know, basically do some of the heavy lifting that he used to do. I experienced that in my relationship with my beloved, heroic wife, who had to carry on some things that, you know, I had to deal with. But she still was completely on board with me. And even though it was hard for her, she saved my life in so many different ways. And so those are the kinds of things that I just felt like I needed to play out in the story.
Well, since we're getting personal for a moment, this might be a good time for our
TRQ.
A totally random question from one of our listeners. Today's is from Narnia, and they spelled it with a 1 instead of an I.
Yes, I noticed that.
Who asks, what's the weirdest food you've ever eaten, and how did you react to it?
That's a good question.
That is a very random. Why? What does it have to do with Narnia is what I want to know.
I don't know. That is the name of, that's the username.
So, oh, the, okay. Yeah.
Yes.
Say it again.
So Narnia wants to know, what's the weirdest food you've ever eaten, and how did you react to it?
Oh, my goodness.
Now, you've been in different countries.
I have.
You've traveled the world, maybe something from one of these other cultures.
Yeah, probably the unknown meat in the shawarma that I had in Africa. It was about as full of tendons and sinews as I have ever tasted in a meat. And I asked him what the meat was, because shawarmas are a delicacy. I mean, we have them in America, and they're fabulous. this was not that shawarma. It was completely different in every respect, and I don't think they ever told me what it was. The other thing that I had in Africa at that time, and I don't remember the name of it, Bob, but it was a round fruit, and they basically said, "You have got to taste this." We ask everybody who comes to taste this thing, and I said, "Is it good?" And they're like, "Just you have to taste it." And I'm like, "Tell me if it's good." And they said, "No, but you have to taste it." And I did taste it. If you've ever drank turpentine before,
which we don't recommend,
I do not recommend,
you will find yourself in the hospital getting your stomach pumped. That was what I experienced in that moment. It tasted exactly like the smell of turpentine. And, I would not recommend that. You know, I think the Lord just purged the memory of that name of that fruit out of my mind.
Well, thanks to Narnia, it's back.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Thank you for sharing that. And thank you, Narnia, for the question. Well, when you heard the final episode, was there anything that you wished you could change, kind of go back and maybe tweak a little bit?
There's always things, right?
Always.
No matter what you do. If you talk to any creative person, they'll always say, "I wish I could go back and blank." Or, I mean, for me, there's always lines that I would have adjusted that sometimes are too on the nose, I would say, or too expositional. Maybe I got so in love with the theme, I tried to milk that a bit too much. There are directing things for me that I wished, I wish I would have played it this way instead of that way. Those are things you can't know until you hear it, and we don't have the luxury of unlimited resources to be able to go back in and re-record at that time.
Well, even with that, it was a wonderful episode. And again, one that's going to become a fan favorite. I was just at the Greater Homeschool Convention in Texas and had so many people come up to the Focus booth and so many Odyssey fans saying, "I love the Bible stories." Yeah, and so I know that our listeners are going to really enjoy this one.
Awesome.
And with Obed-Edom coming out, now the list of Adventures in Odyssey episodes that tell Bible stories is growing even more. So I got to ask, any ideas or plans for more Bible stories?
Yeah, as the list grows more and more that we've done, the list grows shorter and shorter of those we can do.
That's true.
I think we've hit most of them probably. I would just basically say to the listeners, if you have things that you feel like we could address but haven't, send in your ideas. I'd love to get them. I mean, for me, you know, as I'm going through devotions, I'm always sort of evaluating what God's telling me, and does that translate into something I should tell others? And so even this morning, for example, I was, my wife and I were having devotions, and we were in the book of 1 Kings, and it was the section about Solomon where God asks him, "Ask me whatever you want."
Right.
And, you know, I'll give you the desire of your heart. And instead of the things that most people probably would think of asking, like money or fame or long life, he asks for wisdom. But the thing that struck me as I heard that verse was, and I read the scriptures there over and over and over again, but this one thing about it popped out at me in a new way, where he says, Solomon said to the Lord, "I'm just a child, and I have the responsibility for these people. Mm-hmm. I need wisdom." And so what that sort of unlocked for me was to say, we all need to go to the Lord and ask him to give us the tools that we need for what he's called us to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I think of the creative process, and I'm reminded of the craftsman in Exodus. I think one of them is called Bezaliel.
Mm-hmm.
And basically God calls Bezaliel. He chooses him for the task of doing this job of crafting pieces of art for the temple. And it says he gave Bezaliel a spirit of wisdom and understanding and knowledge. And those are the and that's what I would, if it was me, I would ask God for that. I would ask God, make me a better storyteller. Make me a better creative visionary. And so as I hear that, then I begin to think, well, maybe I should tell Bezaliel story, but there's not much meat on the bone there. I'd have to make an awful lot more up. So those are the things that inform what I do.
Well, and of course, club members will be able to look forward to another Bible story coming up. This one involving Zoe and Ted Humphries. So at Mount Sinai, that's going to be coming up in early 2023.
Yes, so, that one is still in production and coming soon.
I can't wait to hear it.
Yeah.
Dave, thanks for being with us again.
Thank you, guys. Enjoy it.
That was a great conversation. And you can hear The Honor of Obed-Edom in the club right now.
We've heard from Dave about the writing. Let's hear a preview of the show itself.
This month on the Adventures in Odyssey Club, a simple man in ancient Israel receives a visitor.
I am honored, King David.
The king has a proposal.
I'm searching for an honorable man willing to house and to protect the Ark of the Covenant.
But Obed-Edom's son is unhappy about keeping the Ark inside the house.
What would possess you to bring something so dangerous into your home where you, or mother, or even Othni could be in danger?
This month on the Adventures in Odyssey Club.
You know, after today's interview, I want to hear that episode again, and I want to read more about Obed-Edom in my Bible.
Both are great ideas, especially the Bible reading part. You can visit or join the club at adventuresinodyssey.com.
And you can see and hear more podcasts, 413 more to be precise, at adventuresinodyssey.com/podcast. But that's all for this edition of the official Adventures in Odyssey podcast, a presentation of Focus on the Family.
If you have any questions about Odyssey, the club, or you just want to chat with someone at Focus, give us a call at 1-800-A-FAMILY. I'm Bob.
And I'm Jesse, reminding you that with God in your life, every day's an adventure.
It's time to level up. Give your kids a safe, faith-focused, and biblically-based community, and so much more. Join the Adventures in Odyssey Club. Club members get on-demand access to the exciting Adventures in Odyssey series, including more than 900 episodes. With faith-building activities, parental controls, and a safe online community, the Adventures in Odyssey Club could be your best adventure yet. Learn more and start your free trial at adventuresinodyssey.com/radio.